Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to episode 200 of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, Dr. Evan Borgo. Thank you so much for tuning in, and oh my god, I can't believe we actually made it to 200 episodes. This is the first time I actually made it to 200 episodes of something. Boston Bastardgate almost made it to 200, but it stopped at like 191, so that was a bit of a failure. But episode 200, so thank you all for tuning into this very special episode, and it is a special episode because we got a bunch of our good buddies here. First and foremost, our official Pokemon gym leader by day and Grand Theft Auto drug whatever kind
gym
of guy.
I prefer Czar.
Drug Czar, Elite Four Derek.
How's it going, guys?
We have, of course, our stupid, awesome analyst of wicked anime, John Star.
Hey, what up?
And folks, I am so excited about this because for years I've been wanting to have this guy on my show. Despite the fact that he is from Massachusetts as well, and he's the other J-pop host in Massachusetts. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard him do his best of picks every single year since 2015 on our best of albums of the year, of course, from Abstract Japan, Tyler Abstract.
Hello, universe!
Oh my god, it is so cool actually hearing that in person, by the way.
That was quite the introduction. I never got that before.
Well, I know Andrew got the introduction when he was on our first episode of, the first time he was on Boston Bash Brigade, so yeah. Maybe that's kind of why you've never gotten that.
I did miss that spot, yeah, it was just him that time.
But, my god, guys, I know we had quite a lot of amazing episodes up to episode 200, but I gotta talk about what's been going on in Boston Bash Brigade just this past June. I mean, first and foremost, we had three of our reviews being quoted on the back of manga. You could buy copies of Flying Witch Volume 6, City Volume 2, and Ajin Demi-Human Volume 11. And if you look at the back of it, you will see Boston Bash Brigade listed with our review quote, which is phenomenal. I can't believe that actually happened.
It's quite an achievement.
It is. And then achievement number two, we got to interview probably an amazing she's definitely an amazing up-and-coming manga artist and manga creator, Kuro Akage, the creator of the webcomic series Aspie-chan. This is going to be as big as my lesbian experience with Loneliness and The Bride Was a Boy. She is going to go places with her storytelling and her art skills. Not to mention she's one hell of a cosplayer, too. Mm-hmm. And I honestly can't believe, out of all the things that have happened, I can't believe this legit happened. We had Frank Turner on our show.
Yeah.
Frank Turner, who I have spoken so much love for, one of the best performers on the planet. I've had Cuckoo Kangaroo, his best buddies, on there. We've of course had Skinny Lister, who have become good buddies, but now we had him, the crim of the crop when it comes to folk punk. He just, wow. And I urge you, if you haven't listened to that interview, please do. He is such a great guy. So, yeah, we have got a lot coming up and a lot that has happened here in Boston Bash Brigade. So, Thank you for tuning in thus far. Thank you for reading our reviews, our interviews, and everything in between and the like. So,
oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, I think our actual readers are here in the room with me. But seriously, listeners, I am very excited about episode 200. This is going to be a very fun episode. We're going to be talking about our love for J-pop, our love for anime, and not to mention, we're actually going to be playing a couple of card games that we have brought up many times here on the Boss and Bass Brigade, and I think even on Wicked Anime, we've talked a lot about it as well.
Yeah, a little throwback of some of the history of the show. We have By the Rights, which we played at one of our Boston Festival of Indie Games.
Yes, and we actually have video of you losing a round to that.
Proof. Yeah, well, I'm much better now.
Yes.
Much better. I'm a champ now. I beat all the 12-year-olds at my youth center that I work at.
Well, that's because they couldn't think of racist cats.
And then we also have another game that we're going to play, which is out of print now. You cannot find it anymore.
Which I can't understand why. It's such a great game.
I don't know. Again, one that I destroy all my 12-year-olds at. It's the Asmodee game Channel A, where you make your own anime.
Yeah.
Now so it's being passed on by folklore, literally, word of mouth.
Yeah, that's
his start.
My grandfather gave me a pack of index cards that were sharply drawn on and said, here, learn this game.
But first, before we dive into all of that, we're going to jump into our playlist, and we're going to be doing something very special with this playlist. All the songs that you're going to hear in today's episode are all the J-pop tracks that we spun on our very first episode of No Borders, No Race. Now, this isn't the first podcast episode. I'm talking about the first radio show. No Borders, No Race version 1.0, as I like to call it. This is like 2.0. Podcasting is a 2.0 version. But these are all the J-pop songs that I played on the very first episode of No Borders, No Race on July 11th, 2006. And yes, I know it's one day shy of that day when this episode goes live, but
wow,
it's still
time
pretty
is
cool.
Relative.
Yeah, and I think what I find interesting is when I was looking at all these songs, like most about half of these songs I haven't listened to probably since I did this radio show.
Yeah.
So yeah, these are going to be some very, very, very old tracks that we're going to be spinning. And I almost forgot. I've been staring at this and forgot to mention that our good buddy Tyler brought out a special gift of Snow Maiden Sake. Tozai, can you tell us a little bit about this?
It's like a unfiltered sake, so that's why it's cloudy, and of course, kind of, with the bottle mostly, it's got like a pink tint to it, and just, it's really, actually really good.
Oh, don't ruin the magic of their advertising.
It's mysterious. It glows.
It's
like,
very elegant.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it'll be nice, even the image of it on a nice hot day like today.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, just think of
some koi fish,
and it's got a nice label, and this is, you know, legit from Japan, sake, which is the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this is my, just thanks to you for doing what you do.
Thank you, dude. And thank you for doing it, because let's be honest, like, doing a J-pop show is hard, because there aren't a lot of us that are promoting the music scene. So I'm very thankful that you're also doing it as well.
Absolutely, we wouldn't have met that way. We met at the Shonen Knife little presentation.
Yeah, they're doing a Q&A over at MIT.
You're right. MIT, and that's where we met, and similar likes. You commented on my Boris shirt, and
yeah, you gave me a hug because of it.
You were the first person, like, you were the first person to just, like, straight up recognize Boris, who's like, I'm a huge fan, so I gotta hug you.
And I remember that you, that we were going, well, you couldn't go to the show because it was sold out, but one of our other friends, who actually does his own segment on our best of shows, Jiggy-san.
Yeah, my homie Jiggy-san, one of my best friends since way back, since fourth grade, you know? So, yeah, he's on my show a lot, too. We just hang out.
Yeah.
So, good time.
Absolutely. So, thank you for bringing this.
No problem.
Like I always say, if you love these artists, if you like what you hear, and you want to support these bands, please go on to cdjapan.co.jp, yesasiaamazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And for this episode, we are going to actually be doing three songs instead of two songs for our break, because there were a lot of songs that we played way back when. These aren't even all the songs we played on the radio show back at WMW Sam, because we had to do what was known as a core show, which means we had to play songs that we didn't really want to play, but what can you do? And then you got to mix in your own stuff, too, when you finished playing those songs.
It's okay. We know you're a sellout, Evan. It's
Welcome to radio.
Yes. So
Hollywood.
So how should I do this? Okay, so I'm going to first introduce the second song you're going to hear. And it's interesting because this band I got introduced through the radio station over at WMW in Salem, a band called Eastern Youth. And this is from their album 365 Step Blues called The Overpowered. But first, the band that you hear open every single episode of No Borders, No Race, probably one of the most influential pop bands of all time from Japan, Guitar Wolf. And this is from their album Rock and Roll Etiquette. You can still buy it in Japan, but you can't buy it in America anymore. Long out of print. This song is called Godspeed to You.
か慌ただしくどこか足早に通り過ぎ今年も気がつけばこんなに咲くぞ黙って冬の気配が訪れてた
and Beyond Vocal Remix, and she is considered by many to be the queen of J-pop. So many number one hits, so many number one albums, and truly one of the most influential voices in the Japanese pop music scene. And now for this first segment, we're going to be talking about our first J-pop experience, because as a lot of people know, I think I talked about this in episode 100, when we had our friends Tom Maleski and Sawakato on, how I first kind of got into Japanese music through anime from the songs of Megumi Hadashibara and Yui Horie in the show Love Hina, which still one of the best comedies, one of the best harems ever made. And from there, one hell of an opening, Sakura Saku,
yeah.
one of my favorites like of all time. And then, of course, that led me to watching Cowboy Bebop with Yoko Kanno and the Seatbelts. And hearing that music, and not to mention also the songs from Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex that she composed, which I will still say that Yoko Kanno is one of the very few, like, anime composers who can actually make an album that you can listen to outside of the anime it's from.
Yeah.
But then it all led up to Fooly Cooly and The Pillows With Me, and that was where my love for J-pop really just sprouted and just became this massive tree of all the bands and all the artists that they were affiliated with and associated with, and then finding about South by Southwest, and then that's when I realized, okay, there's something up with this scene. I need to actually help give this a voice that doesn't even exist yet. And that's what led me to do No Borders Erased over at Salem State, and now as a podcast show.
Mm.
So, Tyler, since you're the other J-pop man here, I want to know about your origin story. What got you into Japanese music?
True. Not too far off from yours, but the point of origin, I guess I can actually attribute to Princess Mononoke and the soundtrack and my love for,
Joe Hisashi, yes.
Yeah, like I, grew up on classical music, so already that's friendly in my world. And fell in love with that, which is kind of a natural way. But also, where the weird stuff kind of came in is, I already liked all kinds of different music, very eclectic, and then my friend handed me an album of DJ Crush, who is like a turntablism, uses vinyl, and it's very minimalistic and not your average type thing, and it just happened to be from Japan.
Yeah.
And I was like nothing I've ever heard.
Right.
And it just spiraled into the madness it is now. And the thing is, it's not, Japanese music isn't my primary focus in my general love of music, because like you love everything. And
yeah,
there's so much out there.
I mean, you look through my vinyl record collection right there. I've got everything from alternative to rock to hardcore punk to
Prince.
Yeah, the Prince, of course.
You gotta. So it just kind of spiraled out of that, and just through the net, actually, where it really accelerated was through MySpace, where you could just, find Japanese bands, put in, Japan, weird stuff, screamo or experimental,
right.
And just get all these weird, even local things that have listens. And just
I'm not going to lie, when I first started No Borders and Race back in 2006, the majority of the things that I would play were, ripped from MySpace.
Yeah,
I found basically entire albums on different fan pages of all these bands, and then through there I would find other bands and other artists,
exactly.
And that would help to build up my library. When I started doing No Borders Erased, I think I had about almost 70 burnt CDs of mixes of different Japanese artists, and then by the time I ended No Borders Erased over at WMW Samoa, I had about 160, and it was about that time when I was starting to use my iPod more to spin them artists. But I think right now my collection is almost close to 1,500 J-pop albums that I own, that I have bought, downloaded, and have found in various other places.
Wow. Can I just say it's a very nice signifier that this is episode 200 that you mentioned that you spun the playlists on your iPod?
Why?
Well, what's an iPod?
Yeah, seriously.
Here's the thing. I still have my iPod from 2007, and it still works like a charm. Granted, it doesn't hold as much of a battery as it used to, but I know probably within the next year or two, I'm gonna have to buy a new one. Yeah, an iPod was before the days of an iPhone. You could just put all your music onto a portable device and listen to it there.
I spun all my music on my Zune.
I had the
Hit clips.
Oh my god!
Hit clips. Oh my god, dude!
Before I even had an iPod, I had Creative had its own MP3 player, which was actually really good.
The Zen Stone.
Yes,
I have that. Oh my gosh! You hold the pause button to turn it on. First of all, let's just say how great quality that is. But
actually, the one that I have, you hold down the volume button.
No screen interface.
Nope, mine did.
Oh,
so I think I have the Zen Extra then. Okay. Mine was the Zen Extra. 30 gigabytes. And I thought, oh, 30 gigs, this is going to last me forever.
Yeah.
No.
I think my most favorite free music kind of promo thing was a paper vinyl record. It's playable on vinyl, a little 7-inch for Alf, called Cooking with Alf. It came with a Burger King meal, like, back in, like, early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's basically a piece of cardboard, and then it had, like, essentially a just the ridges of, you know, the vinyl, and there was like two songs on there.
You know, Mad Magazine actually did that back in the 1960s. They had Alfred E. Newman doing the song "It's a Gas," and it's just him burping throughout the entire song. It's like this, like that's there's just like this funky jazz sort of thing, and it's just him going burr, burr.
Super avant garde.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's the birth of noise rock.
Yeah. Let's do what you want. Fuck it.
Yeah. I know you're still getting into, like, the Japanese music scene through me, Derek, but, yeah. Like, when did you first start noticing it for yourself?
I mean, I've always been a Toonami fan at heart, so there has always been Dragon Ball Z. You can't see me wearing the Goku key right now, but that's on.
But he is. Yeah.
The orange is blinding me.
Yeah! But there was this one great special where they showed... They had a series of four premieres of music videos for a band called Daft Punk. Their upcoming album, Discovery, ripped out of the movie Interstellar 5555.
The story of the secret star system.
And that had been my first time being like, whoa, this is like really cool music that I've never heard before. Obviously, this isn't J-pop, but...
It's connected. It's
yeah.
It's from the same guy who did Galaxy Express 999 and... Captain Harlock, all these iconic things, and then he collaborated with Daft Punk.
But then it's, I guess J-pop and anime have always been associated with me, and that was kind of the thing that started it, and then still watch it through Toonami, through some Dragon Ball Z. Fooly Cooly was another one that really struck me back when I was in high school.
Are we all gonna have Fooly Cooly stories? Is that
like...
I feel like that was a spark for everybody.
Yeah.
It was.
It's
so feel good, the music, especially Pillows. If you like, have a bad day, rock on a Pillows album, it'll lift you up a little.
Absolutely.
Not a lot.
But yeah, now it's come to the point where I have just seen Puffy AmiYumi and am getting ready to go see the Pillows.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes, we all are.
I know. Yeah, we're all going to that show, which is going to be stupendous.
We also saw Flow last year at Anime Boston. They put on an awesome show.
Yeah, downside was the sound system.
Yeah.
So what happens when you're in a gymnasium and you're 30 feet to the right of the furthest speaker?
Yeah. Mine started... While I did have Toonami, when I was younger, I didn't really have as much of attention span to pay attention to that sort of stuff. So it was when I was finally old enough to stay up late on my own terms and watch Adult Swim. And the first real exposure that I had to J-pop where I really recognized it was the theme song to Evangelion.
Mm-hmm.
What an iconic sound to our youth. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows that that's Evangelion
A running gag. It's like, what's an anime song?
Different
that's
cover,
the one.
Yeah.
Different covers of it. That also is unique.
And I think that I actually saw Fooly Cooly on Adult Swim before I saw Evangelion, but I didn't watch a full episode the first time I saw it, so I never really got a hold of the Pillows, and I wasn't really looking for it, because at the time, I actually was not a fan of anime. I like, legitimately was a hater up until my junior year of high school, where...
Yeah,
ex-hater.
I
am.
Didn't know that.
Yeah,
Their mouths aren't moving with the words, man!
I actually haven't really liked anime for that much of my life, believe it or not. But I've devoted a lot of it to a podcast now, so... but the Fooly Cooly and the Pillows, they once I really got into, which was around 2008, it was that time, and Fooly Cooly was out of print at that time, too, so I didn't have access to it unless it was either played on Adult Swim, or I actually found a seller who had a burned copy of it on Amazon. I actually bought Fooly Cooly on Amazon.com, but it was a burned copy from a seller. So, and that's when it really got into it, and I didn't realize that it was essentially a rock opera at the time.
Yeah, it's legit a Pillows music video from start to finish.
That's a good way of putting it.
But
we're so right.
I guess I can also kind of attribute Japanese culture to me being a part of meme culture too, as well. Because who remembers the Carmel Dancing?
Yes.
That's not a Japanese song, mind you, but it is like one of the longest lasting Japanese memes like of all time.
It's like the Levian Polka.
Exactly. It's the exact same level. But I remember, you know, very fondly in my adolescent youth, all the anime kids at Anime Boston with the cat ears, you know, dancing to the Carmel Dancing. And
we used to do that at our anime club too.
Yep. That's part of it too, I think. I think that's like a huge part of it, just, you know, just getting into that foreign sound altogether, you know. I would say that those ones were my biggest influence, though. Yeah.
Very cool. So some backstory from all of us when it comes to our love for Japanese music and even Japanese culture as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing that just like a show or a song or something like that can be like a gateway to a brand new experience.
I actually have another one that it was the first time that I actually sought out a band for their music, because originally I never sought out the Pillows afterwards. I never sought out, you know, anybody else who did an anime.
You see, I actually went to like Kinokuniya bookstore in New York and I ordered like a shit ton of their albums.
Yeah. A lot happened for me in 2008 because that was the first year I was an anime fan. Mm-hmm. But in that very same year is when they were premiering Death Note. Death Note was on Adult Swim, and I actually sought out Maximum the Hormone for their opening themes. And that was the first Japanese band that I actually got music for.
Yeah, I like to refer to them as like Japan's System of a Down.
Yeah, kind of. Except if System of a Down's every single song was about sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, much less political.
I just remember the way that they got away with being able to say the F word on TV, because they actually, you know, have that as one of their lyrics for the opening, and they didn't censor it for when they played the opening on Adult Swim.
You know, I actually played it on college radio, and no one complained, because when you hear it, it doesn't sound
like it at all.
No, it's just, it's hey, hey, ninja saga, and ninja faga.
Yeah. And they changed the subtitles when it was on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
But if you look up the lyrics,
Mm-hmm.
It's a swear word.
Yeah, but because it was such a thick accent, you thought it was something else.
They didn't do anything about it.
And I never got in trouble for it. But yeah, Maximum, I hope they release something soon. It's been a while since Maximum the Hormone has done something.
Yeah.
So again, our origin story of our love for J-pop and Japanese culture. So, we're going to head back onto our playlist, and the second song in this segment is going to be one of the most iconic punk rock songs ever recorded by a band called the Blue Hearts. If you've ever seen the movie Linda Linda or you watched the show The Rolling Girls, all of their songs are featured on there, but it's covers.
That's a good anime.
Yes. And so this song is one of probably their most famous out of everything they ever recorded from their self-titled debut. It is Linda Linda. But first, we talked about Shonen Knife earlier. We're going to be spinning, first off, a song from their 712 album. And again, like, for some people don't know this, but like Shonen Knife was Kurt Cobain's like all-time favorite rock band.
Oh.
They played a huge role in
Cobain happy, let's just say.
Yeah, and made Kurt Cobain happy.
That's how powerful and awesome they are.
And on top of that, they actually helped with like sparking the grunge rock scene, because bands like Sonic Youth, Red Cross, they all loved Shonen Knife.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So like, they were very instrumental in the movement of grunge rock back then. So from 712, here are Shonen Knife with The Luck of the Irish.
If you had the luck of the Irish, you'd be sorry and wish you were dead. You should have the luck of the Irish, and you'd wish you was English instead. 1,000 years of torture and hunger drove the people away from their land. A land full of beauty and wonder. was raped by the British brigands. Goddamn, goddamn. If you could keep voices like flowers, there'd be shamrock all over the world. If you could drink dreams like Irish dreams, the world would be higher, the mountain or Mars. In the pool they told us a story, how the English divided the land, of the pain, the death, and the glory, and the poets of old Ireland.
If we could make change with the morning dew, the world would be like Galway Bay. Let's walk over rainbows like leprechauns. The world will be one big brand new star.
Why the hell are the English there anyways, as they kill with God on their side? Blame it all on the kids and the IRA, as the bastards commit genocide. All right, genocide.
If you had the luck of the Irish, you'd be sorry and wish you were dead. You should have the luck of the Irish, and you'd wish you was English instead. Yes, you'd wish you was English instead.
ドブネズミみたいに美しくなりたい。写真には写らない美しさがあるから、
リンダリンダ。
Polysix from their album National P and from their compilation album Polysix or Die, another fantastic Japanese punk band greatly influenced by the works of Devo to the point where even Devo themselves have crowned them the next Devo.
I like Devo.
I know you do love Devo.
It's funny, I had a Polysix album and inside was, I don't know how to describe it, those bubble charts, kind of like a bubble flow chart of influence of like different bands, you know, connected together. And Devo, of course, is like a giant big influence in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So right now we're going to do a bit of a let's play of one of the card games we have talked about on this show called By the Rights. And John Starr, please explain to our audience how they play this game.
Yeah, so this is pretty simple. There are four stacks of cards, and each one represents a different part of your movie. You have genre, description, hero, and plot. We're going to draw two of each of those cards, and then what we have to do is we have to select one of those two cards that we draw, and we're going to put them face down. So you're going to have four cards in front of you, essentially, at the beginning of your turn. And the game is really simple. You just pitch your movie to the producer. Evan, I believe you're going to be the producer first, and we're going to do two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So Evan has $20 million in his possession, and he can choose to give any amount of $20 million, whether it's $5 million to all three of us, whether it's $10 million to two of us, or $20 million to one person. And whoever ends up with the most money at the end of the game wins. It's that easy. The producer can ask any questions that he wants. He can ask about, like, what the actors are going to be in it, what the location's going to be. I don't know. Have fun with it. Whatever.
Right.
Make some suggestions about the plot to maybe try to convince the producer that they're smart and that they, you know, and that they're going to make a great movie with you. What have you. Let's draw some cards. So I'm going to draw two. You don't draw anything.
Oh, that's right. So I don't do anything.
I'm going to draw two red, which is genre. I'm going to draw two orange, which is description. Two blue cards, which are heroes. And then two green cards, which are plot. And then I'm going to look through what I drew. And then I'm going to pick one of each of these colored cards for each one. You guys can do the same. We do this at the same time. And then when you figure out your movie, just place your four cards face down so that Evan can't see them.
Mm-hmm. These are the kind of card games I love playing the most. Like, you know, we grew... I don't want to say we grew up, but we started out playing stuff like Cards Against Humanity. And it got to a point where it was getting a little bit tiresome. But thankfully, like, card games like this helped to create, like, a new sort of processing flow when it comes to having fun and coming up with really cool ideas.
Mm-hmm. The most I only have things for, like, really serious plots.
Well, you could turn them into things of satire.
I know, which I'm gonna try my best.
All right. So, do we have anyone who's got a movie idea ready, or are we still waiting?
Yeah, I'll go. Okay. So, my movie is going to be one. A war film about a terminally ill bank robber who is searching for patient zero after a catastrophic epidemic. So, I am going to make a film about World War I.
Okay, that was going to be my first question.
Yeah, it's going to take place in World War I, and the bank robber is actually he's sent to war on the pretenses that he could either die in jail or he could go to war. That's where a bank robber part comes in.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really helpful in the film because he is going to have to do things like lie and cheat and steal and sneak around in trenches and stuff like that. Sure, there might be some parts where he has to steal something from, like, his comrades and everything. So he's terminally ill because he is dying of being hit with mustard gas. Same thing with the rest of his troop. And he's, like, the last remaining person. So he's dying from this. And he has to search for patient zero after a catastrophic epidemic. He's looking for his troop. He doesn't know if anybody is left still alive, if he's looking around. But he is trying to find them so that they can go find a cure together. So in the end, he's going to try to find troop members to go find somebody who knows how to cure he's not really being infected because mustard gas doesn't really work this way. But anyways, that's what I want out of my film. That's
all right. So what are you thinking regarding casting? Who should play the bank robber?
I think that, man, somebody, I hadn't really thought about that, actually. That's one that's really, really hard.
Are you looking for someone that's, like, a baby face, or are you looking for someone that's, like, nitty-gritty?
Well, I mean, he's a bank robber, so he could be baby face. I don't know, Tom Holland. Tom Holland is our bank robber.
Okay.
And because they sent a lot of kids to war in World War I.
Yeah.
So yeah, he'll be our sick guy.
Do you have a title for this movie?
I don't. I'm usually a lot better at this stuff, coming up with a title on the spot. But this is like too serious, so it's really hard. That's a challenge. When you get into the wrong cards and you have to come up with a serious film, it's hard to come up with a title for it right on the spot. Usually, if you get like a sidekick monkey and stuff like that, it's way easier to come up with a title for your film. But this one. Something about the breeze I don't know, something about the smell of wheat, because that's what people have said, that mustard gas smelled like. It smelled like wheat in the air, like a wheat field in the air. I don't know. We'll call it...
Amber waves of pain.
There we go, amber waves of pain. That's what we're going to do. Even though America had nothing to do with World War I, we're going to do that.
All right, Derek, I see you've got some cards ready.
Yes. So you see the opening credits end, you hear an electric guitar, suddenly you realize that this is a rock opera.
Oh!
Slowly walking up to the front center of the stage is a smooth-talking rapper. I know it's a rock opera, just it. And he is the voice of our generation. And as this story progresses, you will see him buying strange, magical creatures from a traveling salesman, like unicorns and zebras and chihuahuas and shit. And he is going to spread his word and sing his songs, and it will be 120 minutes of pure glory and genius.
Now it is a rock opera, a smooth-talking rapper. Are you looking for someone that's along the lines of Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine?
You know, it's a very specific personality I need for this. It has to be, like, not quite a Freddie Mercury, but it has to be 100% identical to Kanye West and probably no one else.
So Ice-T, because Ice-T also fronted Body Count.
This needs to be the voice of a generation.
Now, when you talk about magical creatures, are you thinking about going with, like CGI magical creatures, or are you going to be having, like, puppets?
Yeah, you gotta go CGI, because there's no such thing as zebras or chihuahuas.
Alright, so, do you have a title for the movie?
The Big Yeezy.
Damn, I'm out this round.
Now, I know it's a smooth-talking rapper, but what kind of rock do you picture? Do you have an idea of who you would like to be composing this rock opera? Or is it a pre-existing band?
Probably call that whiny guy from Maroon 5.
Adam Levine?
You have to be more specific.
Yeah, he'll do some music or stuff. I'll just cut him out if I don't like him.
Alright, Tyler, your turn.
Alright, for me, we're gonna go for more harmony chorion style, gritty, found footage, and depressing of a superhero trying to get the band back together for a reunion.
Chronicle 2?
And also only played by Tilda Swinton. Every single part.
So it's literally a one-woman show.
Yep. That's all I got.
How do you have a one-person show of a found footage film?
Thus in lies the intrigue
of Tilda Swinton.
Especially when trying to get the gang back together. Yes. I also love that your first movie is a sequel.
And also being in a band with all playing with yourself.
She could be like that person in the Boston Public Gardens with the drum and the accordion and guitar dancing around.
Oh, okay. All right, I got it. So she's crazy and thinks she's in a band with other people, but is actually just one person, and that's her struggle, is trying to find getting back band, but it's just her and her descent and madness.
Okay, that's more interesting.
All right, still played by Tilda Swinton. I'm budging on that. Drive a hard bargain.
I'm out! Alright, so what is the title of your movie?
That's nice.
Band of One?
Solo.
You can't call it solo. Although you could, because odds are people are going to forget about that movie anyway.
Yeah. Now we can just a little solo act.
Solo,
nice.
All right, cool. Okay.
Solo, not the Star Wars.
Solo, Ezra's.
All right.
Not Star Wars.
I'm going to have to give $10 million to Derek for his idea, and then $5 million for each of you.
Rip off. Mine didn't deserve nothing.
Well, at least you worked hard.
I'm glad we agreed.
All right.
There you go, $5 million, and you got $10 million right there.
Yeah,
$5.
All right, we'll play one more round, so I can get here.
Yeah, if you want to keep your old cards, you can. But if you want to get rid of your old cards and draw two more of any kind,
all right. Who wants to be
but you
the
can keep and draw two more?
No.
Okay, so you have like.
Oh, you can. No, you can. You can keep and draw one more of each, so but you can, or you can,
okay,
yeah.
So as long as you have two.
I'll be the producer this time.
Oh, here we go. I got this. I have this.
Scared.
All right, you just best watch your back when Channel A happens.
Yes, Channel A is going to be interesting.
That plot just makes this perfect.
All right, whenever somebody's ready and they want to pitch their movie.
They'll defer.
All right, so I've got an unnecessary sequel.
Okay.
To what I have no idea. And it follows a charming rock star who finds fame after becoming an internet meme. So kind of like a Rick Astley kind of rock star.
Okay,
sort of
thing. Okay, yeah.
So things start out, he's kind of been washed out for maybe 5-10 years. People have almost forgotten about him. But then all of a sudden, like, his 7-year-old kid finds an old performance of him that's just so laughably bad that to punish the father because he took away his television, he posts it onto YouTube. Okay. And then all of a sudden, people are passing along this video of the washed-up rock star just being a complete idiot and singing and acting like a goofball. And then just within 24 hours, he becomes famous once again. Mm-hmm. But as he is getting this newfound fame, he's wondering if it's, like, legit or if he's being treated as a joke. And it's going to be his struggle with finding out whether or not he is legit a good rock star or he's just the butt of the universe.
Interesting.
AKA a meme.
All right, yeah. So it's an unnecessary sequel. So what is this following after? Do you have any idea at all?
What is this following? I would say there's got to be some movie out there that...
It sounds like School of Rock 2.
School of Rock 2. It could hypothetically be that rock star movie that Mark Wahlberg did many years back.
Boogie Nights?
No, actually called Rockstar.
I'm a star, a big beautiful star.
Flump.
Moving on.
Or we could take this in the direction of, it is, if anybody here knows Canon Films, Canon International, those guys made sequels for movies that didn't even exist. So in that case, that could be an unnecessary sequel. But, alright, so what is the rating of this movie? What audience are you looking to appease for this? Because he has a 7-year-old kid, but then again, we've also had films like Chef, too, in the past, which are R-rated.
Yes.
Jon Favreau.
I would say it would be more of a hard PG-13 because, you know, the kids, they love the memes.
Yep.
They'll go to see anything with the memes. Look how big Emoji Movie was.
Exactly. Okay. Alright, and do you have a cast list?
Let's see. If I'm looking for a, you know, when I'm thinking about a charming rock star, someone that could be a bit of a crooner, this may come a little bit out of left field, but who remembers the singer by the name of Chris Isaac?
No.
Oh, wow. That
yeah. Sense. No, I never fall in love. No, that guy. Like, maybe he could actually be the star.
Yeah.
And in turn, it could be, like, him becoming a meme within the movie and him being a meme in real life.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, let's go next.
So.
Derek's confident and he's waiting.
I know. He's, like, gonna nail it out of the park. Might as well keep on going. I'm representing indie underground, dark, gritty, type film crew and dark comedy again. Good. And about a overly enthusiastic lounge singer who he relives the same day over and over, so kind of like a Groundhog Day. Mm. And as far as the casting, Tilda, no. either Tony Clifton or Neil Hamburger.
I think I'd like to see Neil
and
Hamburger.
And do kind of do this sort of a just dreary, dark, but funny, living the same day over and over as a like really sloppy lounge singer, aka Tony Clifton or Neil Hamburger.
Okay, so why would this person be like? I can go see Groundhog's Day with a guy who is trying to live his life like falling in love, right? Or I could see Happy Death Day anytime, except I wouldn't because it's terrible. You know, and what would make me want to go see a lounge singer live every day over and over again? What's the point?
This lounge singer is timeless. It'll always be there, like the Elvis impersonator. If you could even work with me, you could change it into an Elvis impersonator.
Okay.
You'd never turn into Fat Elvis. Yeah.
So we're talking a lounge like singer who relives it every day, who doesn't want to move on from that. He has to ensure that it's always going to be.
Yeah,
the same
he like day. Is miserable, kind of like you know, Larry David. We can get Larry David on board, bring in some dreariness and awkwardness, and give it a shot. And if people like it, right on. If not. Fuck them. We made a lounge singer film.
All right, Derek, lay it on us.
All right, kids. Crack is bad. You end up in jail. Which is why this is a prison break movie. Now, this follows a down on your luck individual. A little bit of a tough story with him. He's actually a stress-eating pizza delivery guy. Makes his job pretty hard. You know, there's a lot of traffic. Next thing you know, there's no pizza. There's no pizza being delivered. There's no crack on the table. Makes him pretty sad. So once he finally gets thrown in jail for eating his last pizza, on crack, of course, he then starts to get lessons about drug abuse from an eclectic group of 80s cartoon characters. You've got He-Man. You've got... I just blanked on the other one. Oh my gosh.
Skeletor?
No, Gem. You got your He-Man, you've got Gem, you've got the Noid from Domino's Pizza, just because.
Well, that would make sense. He's a pizza delivery guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He should be heading the charge. Why didn't you think of that? Idiot.
Bonus.
All the guards walking by just love to laugh at this crackhead pizza delivery guy as he yells at the wall over and over again, saying, He-Man, I will get you one day.
So,
now, in terms of prison break... Maybe it'll happen. You'll have to watch the movie and find out.
But we have to know here, if you want my money, you have to tell me why.
Why?
You have to tell me, or what? Yeah, what's his purpose of breaking out of prison?
Okay, so he needs to create a new life for himself, and it's very symbolic. But what you need to understand about this is there is a huge market for really bad movies that can air between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock on the Disney Channel and ABC Family. And if you can bring in cartoon characters and have a positive message about someone breaking out and starting a new life...
A crack addict on the Disney Channel.
Disney late night.
Okay, well...
You know, those early 90s Disney films were very pushed, very much pushing the envelope back then.
Okay,
Hocus Pocus, they said virgin a lot in that movie.
He likes himself some sody pop. He's getting a lesson about sody pop abuse. I mean, the lips will match up to still say drugs, but, you know, it'll be a really bad overdub.
Oh, man.
You won't believe what I did for a soda pop last week!
So are you going for a younger audience for this? Like, is that what...
No. I'm going for all of the people who are on drugs who are still just watching this Family Channel for no apparent reason.
So this is a pro-drugs movie.
On Disney.
No.
Wait. very nice attempt, but I gotta say that amongst everything, the only one that I enjoyed was Evans. So $20 million to this man, we are making a sequel to an unknown movie.
I got excited when I got a stress-eating delivery guy getting a lesson from cartoon characters, and then I just lost it. It was either Prison Break or Inspirational Sports Story.
All right, guys, that was By the Right, and you can actually buy this in stores and on Amazon and various other places as we speak right now. This was a game that we actually backed on Kickstarter, too.
Yep, for Boston Festival of Indie Games, where we found it, and it immediately had to be funded because it was a whole lot of fun.
So much fun. Such a blast. I highly recommend everyone go out and grab it.
And there are stacks of cards in these piles, guys. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, man. Endless amounts of genres and stuff.
You can even make, kind of make your own. It's a pretty simple format here, so...
Yeah. It's really like...
Just add your mega theme going.
This is a good solitaire game, too.
Yes.
You could, like, if you have writer's block or anything like that, like, look at the Sword and Sorcery.
True.
You know, I've always felt like you could, like, do a radio show. Like, you could do, like, a radio play, and each week you play a round of this, and then the winner gets that thing turned into a radio play.
There is a show like that.
Really?
And...
Don't tell me Nerdy Show is the one who has it. I'd feel really bad.
Forget who, but at the end of every episode they create a trailer for it.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to go back and find out and find out what is. I think it might be. I think it might be a script from scratch. It's not on currently, but there was a podcast like that.
Very cool. All right, listeners, we're going to head back to the playlist, and before we play the next track, this track that's going to be following afterwards is a band that was greatly, greatly influenced the beginning of me wanting to do No Borders, No Race, and that is Electric Eel Shock. And from their Go USA album, it is Suicide Rock and Roll. But first, you're going to hear one of the very first Japanese rock bands that I got into thanks to anime, and that is Lark on CL, who did the theme songs for Great Teacher Onizuka, uh-huh. And Fullmetal Alchemist, the very first Fullmetal Alchemist series, not Brotherhood. And from their album Kiss, this is Link.
Oh, Give me suicidal rock and roll. 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 Give me suicidal kick it out. Give me suicidal rock and roll. Give me suicide and rock and roll. Give me suicide and rock and roll. Give me suicide.
heard Kerberos by the band Sun's Owl from their 2006 album Life. And the interesting thing about Sun's Owl and this album in particular is that they were the first band to actually send me their album to play on our radio show way back in 2006.
Sick.
Like, I heard about them and just checked them out on MySpace. I told them I loved their music, and I asked if there was a chance I could play something from their upcoming record. And they're like, sure, here's our album.
Nice.
So even back then, like, getting a lot of support from Japanese artists who wanted just to get noticed on the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. It's just so cool. Now, I think it goes without saying that being an anime fan now in 2018 is a whole lot easier and better than it was back in 2006.
Absolutely.
In 2006, you had to wait at least a year for an anime to be licensed by a distributor. Fan subs were on the rise, with the ability to give fans a chance to watch new shows within 2 to 4 weeks. Which, you know, good for the fans, bad for, you know, the industry, of course.
Industry was just about to die because of fan subs.
Yeah, the industry, and I was about to say, we still had companies like Genion Entertainment, Bandai Entertainment, ADV Films, and it was still the glory days of manga entertainment and media blasters. But the reason why these fan subbers and bootleggers were becoming more popular is because back then, DVDs, just DVDs, we're not even talking about Blu-ray, DVDs, which sold about 4 to 5 episodes on each disc, would cost around $30 to $40 each. So it was expensive to be an anime fan back then.
I don't even want to tell you how much it cost me to complete my collection of Holic.
Well, I have the original Fooly Cooly discs over there. 6 episodes, 2 episodes on each disc, $90.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I just found those discs myself. I bought the re-release of Fooly Cooly when it came out on Blu-ray, because that was the only time that I ever had a chance to buy it. But then I went back and I found each one of those individual disc copies of it, and I think I paid well under a quarter of that.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, because that was Sync Point, and then Sync Point is another one that came out. Well, they were around, but then I think they only released like 4 or 5 shows before they went under.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's interesting to point out just all the different anime that came out in 2006 that was considered popular. I mean, one of the first one on my list here is The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, which I feel was a real stepping stone to getting anime here faster onto the other side, because that became a worldwide sensation. And just as soon as that first episode premiered, where it's just students making a horrible student movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you had Oran High School Host Club, which I think really started the whole shipping craze, because, you know, all the fangirls like to ship the boys and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, you got some really good hardcore anime or some cool action-packed shows like Black Lagoon.
Yep.
And you also had the violent stuff with, like, Higurashi When They Cry, which is, of course, a huge staple of hardcore anime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you end your segments all the time with the infamous laugh from that show.
Yep.
And then we also had Air Gear and Arima Daikon Brothers, and we also had shows like... And I know you're not that huge of a fan of Death Note, even though you talked about Maximum Hormone, but Death Note had a huge following when it premiered back in 2006.
Oh, I watched the whole thing, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. My problem with Death Note was that you cannot watch that show again.
Yeah.
And you can't just show somebody a really great episode of Death Note. You have to watch it from episode 1 or bust, you know? So, like, and plus, once you understand all the secrets and stuff like that, it's not fun to watch again. So that I like Death Note, but I only like
it. Was it Andrew that doesn't like it?
No, he thinks the same as me.
Oh, okay.
So we have a love-hate relationship with it.
Okay. But I find it really interesting that these were, like, the popular shows back then. Like, when you think of shows from 2006, I know you were looking at shows that came out that year. Like, what stands out the most for you?
Well, I actually just recently bought myself Maho Romantic when that came out, and that reminded me it was, like, a more action-packed Love Hina.
Yes.
In cases. So, and that was a really... That one I really like, and I still, you know, find myself watching this day. Holic was a big one. Mm. Holic really defines, like, when I watch Holic, it defines my mood whenever I think about how I felt watching anime back in the day. I remember Andrew bought Witchblade,
yeah.
Which is actually an anime that was created off of an American comic by the wonderful Michael Turner.
Which I need to point out that there was actually another one that came out that was based off of an American property, which was Demashita Powerpuff Girls Z.
Yep, that's true. Yep.
Powerpuff I mean, that became, that. I think that was like a start of a big rise of American and Japanese collaborations.
Right. What else? I mean, like, fondly remember Oran High School Host Club and everybody telling you that I need to watch it, so I did. Let's see, what else we got?
Why did you have a Dark Magician card?
Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah.
Duel Masters?
Not Duel Masters, that is a different show. They also premiered in 2006, but that is a completely different
Duel
show.
Monsters, Yu-Gi-Oh Duel Monsters.
Yes.
I got those mixed up. Yeah.
Thank you.
I remember Welcome to the NHK.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Toko, but Toko, we saw on, we as in my brother and I, on Anna Mondays.
Yeah, I watched it too.
Yeah, and that show was bad.
It was bad. Was that from the same creator as Great Teacher Onizuka?
I don't remember. This was back in my fledgling days. Like, yeah. You were lucky that I was even watching.
But I remember that the last episode ended on a cliffhanger. Like, the main character's sister got kidnapped, and you never found out what happened.
No, yeah.
I don't think even the manga even touched on that.
School Rumble came out that year. So many. Negima, Negima anime came out. Like, so many classics and things that were great and that I fondly remember from back in those days. Like, shows that are still in my collection. And it's really weird. Hamtaro is on there. It's really weird because, like, I don't feel the same nostalgia or anything that I do when I look at this list and I see things like Ergo Proxy's on here, you know?
Yeah, and Ergo Proxy, the only thing that good came out of that was Radiohead doing the end theme.
Code Geass is on here too. I'm not a fan, but other people are.
I like Code Geass, but I do admit it got a little bit slow towards the end of the second season.
Yeah, I never even made it that far. I made it to like the third episode, and I was like, no. I just think back on, these shows more fondly, though, and how it developed my taste in anime and everything like that, which is so much different than today's anime because we can get it so easily. You don't have to fight to say, like, oh, man, I really hope that, you know. I remember when, like, we were watching Oran High School Host Club on fans with fan subs on YouTube.
Yeah.
And not knowing if it was going to be released on DVD ever or anything like that. Like,
it's like a huge guess. It was a huge guessing game back then.
We don't get that anymore because nobody has to fan sub anymore because we have so many things. Like, everybody just gathers up properties and you can find them anywhere.
Right. I mean, anime gets licensed weeks before it even airs in Japan, and then we go to sites like Crunchyroll, VRV, High Dive, Funimation Now, Hulu, Asian Crush, and sometimes Netflix, even though you have to wait months with Netflix for something to pop up on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's practically automatic these days that you get the anime. I mean, there's anime that we were talking about on the next episode of Wicked Anime that just premiered just 30 minutes after it aired over in Japan.
Yeah, I feel like that us as anime fans from the early 2000s really know what it felt like to be a backwoods bootlegger, moonshiner, when, you know, back in the 50s or whatever. Like, because it's almost like, you know, finding some good illegal liquor someplace and going to a speakeasy to find it. That's what anime in the early 2000s was like.
It was a dark underweb.
Yeah!
How you got your hands on
it. It was!
I'm sure people got ripped off like crazy, you know?
And then you get like terrible fan subs that just didn't even bother to translate it properly.
It's like not the right movie.
And watching what you wanted to watch was rewarding. And now, it's so easy, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not to say that makes anime worse. I still love the medium, actually probably more now than I did back then. But maybe a little bit more level-headed.
There's a lot less masochism involved now.
It is a lot less. Because think about it, even in the early 2000s, like, liking anime was like, a dirty secret. Now you've got football players, rappers, yeah. You've got sports guys, you got action stars,
sports guys.
You got some of like the biggest people in the world professing their love for anime.
Yeah.
And even just like what's popular now compared to popular back then in 2006. I mean, a lot of the big shows that came out this past year, we'd have shows like Laid Back Camp, Megalobox, How to Keep a Mummy, Agretzko. And even though we hate this show, one can't deny the popularity of Pop Team Epic and Wodokoi and Uma Musume. These are like totally different shows compared to what aired back in 2006. These were like shows that back then would have just had a very small niche audience. Laid Back Camp wound up bettering the camping industry in Japan by what? Triple the numbers. Like, people are going to camps because of this show.
Yeah.
It's just insane just how much, you know, how much has changed since then. I mean, I know we talked about all these companies that are gone. Genion's gone, Bandai's gone, ADV Films is now Sentai Filmworks. Manga Entertainment is all of its former self, and Media Blasters is now just one guy sitting in an anime dealer's room staring angrily into your soul as you check out their kiddie media library.
Yeah, yeah.
I kid you not, if you go to any anime convention, Media Blasters is there, there's this one guy who will stare at you angrily as you're looking
cannot
at the
approach
porn stuff.
You cannot approach his booth. That is, it's just the hardest thing in the world.
It's like you see the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Goo, 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 goo.
If it was a cute girl, it would be gee.
Gee. Has anime become mainstream? And I feel like it absolutely has.
If at least a little bit more socially acceptable than it was before.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, being a nerd is cool now. And, like, people will tell you that all the time, but it's true. People aren't really necessarily harassed for liking weird things anymore. At least they're not where I'm around.
Right.
Yeah, people are free to express themselves and nobody really cares. Unless I've just gone blind to the next generation, how they act around each other. I don't know. But I don't care. Like, that's kind of one of the things that you learn. As it could also have to do with us getting older as well. And the fact that, you know, we don't care what other people think of us anymore. When you're in high school, and when these things were, when we were in high school or maybe college or anything like that, we still cared about what people thought about us back then.
Yeah.
But now we don't. It's like, I have a job, and I can pay my own bills, and I can buy what I want, and I choose to buy anime. So,
and so, figurines, yeah, and posters.
Right, and I choose.
Yeah, so, and, like, we can reason that now, but I that could be an effect of what, you know, of our age, of where our status in life. So I don't know. I mean, I'm a high school teacher, so I can ask my students sometimes. It's like, so, do you still get bullied for liking anime? I don't know. Like,
I mean, because I remember walking into Anime Zaka down in Newbury Street.
Yep.
And, like, there were, like, high school jocks inside of that store just clowning about their love for Dragon Ball and One Piece and, like, some of the more obscure shows, too. And, like, when I was in high school, the jocks were the people who would kind of make fun of the people who liked anime and all the geeky stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now the jocks have become nerds themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take that, drink that in for a second.
I mean, there is a joke that, like, people who go to sports games and, like, paint themselves up are, like, the biggest nerds of all.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, they're the original cosplayers.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that is true.
That's right.
Socially accepted cosplayer, that's for sure.
Yes. And I know you just pulled out, Derek actually has some special Legos of Dragon Ball characters. From what store was this again?
Oh, this is from Alchemy Collectibles in Peabody, alchemycollectibles.com. Really great guy that helps run the place, and I found a nice little treasure of it. Little Master Roshi Lego! Even comes with his staff.
I'm gonna go see the Braves. Oh crap, they're all flat chested! This is a nightmare!
Oh,
sick, I can give someone else Roshi's turtle shell.
Right,
I'm gonna play the toys.
But yes, anime has changed in the past 12 years, very much so for the better.
Yeah, if you go into any store that sells anime, well, not any store, there's still some FYEs in there that overpriced their anime, but you can find some really well-priced DVDs now. I remember back in the day when you would have to pay $80 just to, you know, buy an entire season of something, which now you can buy for like $45.
Remember when the Trigun box set was $200?
Yes! I do.
Now it's 25.
I bought My Hero Academia for $60. The entire first season. Like, and, you know, 200 episodes ago, Evan, we wouldn't have been able to do that.
Right. Well, 200 episodes ago, that was 2010. Yeah, actually, no, back in 2010, yes. But back in 2006, oh no. No. You had to be really, really careful of which anime you wanted to collect back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see my anime collection right there. Majority of the stuff is from, like, the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and I think that actually goes into what makes the difference between the two, is that most anime collections are DVDs from back then, and we don't need that anymore because it's everything streaming, so our collections are smaller.
That too. Although it is nice to own, you know, literally a version of it.
I will never get rid of any of my physical copies. I will buy a CD, a DVD, Blu-ray, record, whatever it is, until the end of time. I, like, video game, if it's in a hard format, I will buy it, because I'm a collector.
Absolutely. Because who's to say that that show, like, disappear off the internet someday?
Yeah.
It could be lost by somebody.
Totally.
I hope stuff never disappears off the internet.
I guess that is kind of true. We're going to take another music break, but when we come back, we're actually going to play something that is anime related. But first, the second track you're going to hear in this break comes from a band that sadly no longer together, but was another group that was instrumental in my opening of my love for Japanese punk rock. It is a group called Gitto Gitto Hustler. And from their album Love and Roll, it's Puzzle. But first, in the spirit of anime, of course, I'm playing something from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. This is the second song that Ai Hirano sings in the Live Live episode. This is Lost My Music.
Now Wake up the nations, we need ventilation of tainted information gathered in the bottom of a nuclear reactor. Not a new clear about the cloudy factors, shady tactics, army of paid actors, hard dry like cactus, black rain back of the napalm disasters. We're putting our children at risk, data with an asterisk, call up the activists. Greetings, sun salutation, we give praise to the almighty. Knowledge from the ancient upper window, some seek shelter in artificial station, genetic mutation. The installation of a new plant, but this plant is no ordinary plant. No, no, with a new flower or shed green leaves. Instead you shower daily in a deadly breeze. Spreading like a zodiac sign after Gemini. The everyday workday folk like you and I, who once believed in this promise of a garden. Boy Adam, girl Eve of destruction. Technology, system malfunction. The angle is deep and the wheels losing traction. Who dare say they care about our safety, as long as the food on their dinner plate tasty. No time for supper, as we shall suffer the consequence. Might as well enjoy the last cuppa. Tea if you prefer the taste of metal in your mouth. White blood cells on our ground. People condescend, preemptive strike back across the fence. I guess it all depends which side you're on, whether you feel locked up or free to move on. Confess it all depends which ride you're on, whether you see pitch black or a light to keep on it. Come on, come on, come on, yeah. Whether you see pitch black or a light to keep on it. Come on, shake up the nations, we need ventilation. Obtained information gathered in the bottom of a nuclear reactor. Nothing new or clear about the cloudy factors. Shady taxis on the earth paid actors, hard dry like cactus. Black rain back in the day, pool disastrous. We're putting our children at risk. Daily with an asterisk, power to the activists. Yeah, yeah, beta, what an asterisk, power to the activist. Alpha, beta, gamma rays, any way you like it. Now we're living in Omega Day. Seem like we're trapped in a sci-fi anime. Clean room byproducts, contaminant. Lab workers with laminates, catch red. Too late to reach for the medicine cabinet. The only fusion happening around mass confusion. Need for deep contemplation. Cut through the noise map concentration. Camps built on purpose of tax evasion. Politicians swayed by their shifty cranium. Wicked wet dreams, pure forms of uranium. Multiple platinum enriched plutonium. In propaganda from a sponsored podium. Uno hit like one, the sound of thunder. Another faux pas, irreversible blunder. Thermal recording in a pressurized chamber. With the heat needed, we'll see through you later. Like bonds get smarter while soldiers get dumber. Drive a Hummer now, winter hot like summer. Summer cold like winter now. Who's in the winner circle? Hoops broken, ice caps getting thinner. How do we stop a force so damn powerful? Have to counter with the bigger voice, so let a mouthful of noise begin. Let them bad boys know they can't play with the toys no more. No more, they blow up in the face, strapping the flying everywhere in slow-mo. Ricochet off the wall is stinging reality. Don't let the mothers tally up the fatalities. Judgment soon come beyond the duality. 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 They what? Judgment soon come beyond the duality. 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 So why let the silence kill a true utterance? Why make the homeless scrub up your guttering? Who let the science build the righteous teachers? We let defiance lift the moon from the creatures. Treasures are stolen, then dumped in the ocean. Oh, why we do to a motherland culture? Murder, she wrote in her will and a eulogy. Offsprings cremate her to create energy. Smoke flies, holy figures burn in effigy. Solar eclipse on the night of an apogee. Earth spin around the doomsday clock. Missing around now, the whole building block is hot. Slaggy rocks on the fly, walking on a tight cable. Gambling on top of the periodic table. May fate bring together minds that are able to express from an independent label to rep a hard knock cradle. It's time to rock a show. Let the name ring worldwide, rock a
show what you don't need for show. Yet another Chernobyl leaks like thought, but till then remain hopeful. My people, wanna see the whole plot like a constellation. You connect the dots, see the outline of a master plan at hand. Train line named desire, headed for disaster. Charged like plasma, shatter like plaster. Cause we wanna get from point A to B faster. Send your soul on an auction bid. Better yet, set yourself on vibration, kid. This theater has no spin, no spare turbine, no script set for this year by the genuine population. The path we must take for a major alteration, extreme consumption to wise moderation. Enough with the debating, get up in the morning just to see what we're facing. Enough with the debasing, get up in the morning just to see what we're facing. And that's where gets. Wake up the nations, we need ventilation. Obtained information gathered in the bottom of a nuclear reactor. Nothing it were clear about the cloudy factors. Shaded tactics on the unpaid actors. Hard grind like cactus. Black rain back in the day, pool disastrous. We're putting our children at risk. Gaining with an asterisk, power to the activist. We're putting our future at risk. We're dating with an asterisk. Power to the activists.
You just heard Team 6 with the song Rokusho, which consists of Shingo 2, Ryuichi Sakamoto, Christian Fenez, Motokoi Yamaguchi, DGA1, Ryoto Hayashida. And this was a special song that they released as a protest track for the building of a nuclear facility in Rokusho. But Shingo 2, of course, is one of those rappers that we know from Samurai Champloo, a fantastic anime series, and one of the rappers that really got me into the Japanese hip-hop scene. It was him, M-Flow, Shaka Zombie, and I believe Wise as well. Again, it's so cool having all these different sorts of genres under one umbrella within the Japanese music scene. So right now, we are playing a game called Channel A, and unfortunately, this is a game that you can't find anywhere else.
Nope.
So we are going to be kind of rubbing it in your face as we're playing this game and making you wish that people could actually buy this title. I may want to tweet to the creators of this just to see if maybe they will bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
But the premise of this game is literally to make up an anime. We start off with a couple premises, and we build up a title from the title cards, and then we pitch the show as is. The rule that we're going to be going for is we each get to pick who's the winner, but we can't pick our own out of everyone's.
Yeah. That way everybody gets to play.
All right. Explain that quickly?
Yep.
All right. So, how are we going to start this off? So, what is the premise that we have this time, John?
Okay, so I'm going to draw from the premise pile, and I drew 5 cards, and I'm going to pick 2 of them to create the premise for our show. So, one of us is the producer, and I'll be the producer for the first round, and the producer says, this is basically like, they say, hey, this kind of anime is popular now. Let's all write one, and then I'm going to pick which one is going to be. Well, this time we're all voting. But you can play the game either with the producer picking, like we didn't buy the rights, or you can play with everybody voting on which one's the best. It all depends on the story that you make. The difference between this one and Buy the Rights is that everybody has to create the same anime. Well, not the same anime, but the same premise. So, out of the cards that I drew, I am going to pick the 2 premise cards, Maids and Bloodsport. So, we are creating a Maids Bloodsport anime this season. So, now what we're going to do is we are going to take our cards that we drew, which are just words, and we have to create an awesome anime title out of them.
We can use 4 cards.
Right? Up to 4, yes. All right, I think I got one.
You're going right ahead.
Alright, so what's more cooler than maids? How about fashionable maids? And this show is going to be called Legendary Harajuku Masters Club. And it's about all the maids in Harajuku
getting together and beating the living shit out of one another, with the last one standing being deemed a legendary Harajuku master. And that's about it.
Okay. My anime is called A Certain Twinkle King. And all of my mates...
Can that be shortened to A Certain Twinking?
Certain Twinkle King is based off of a group of males. They are the kings.
Really? Nope.
Who go into battle with one another dressed as maids. Alright, that's all I got. All my maids are males.
Well, there's Shonen Maid and Kamen no Maid guy.
Yep.
Alright. Keep in mind, I got the blank wild card one in here, so I kind of ran wild with that. But this one is called Magical Girl Monkey Fart Gun. And she has a cannon in her butt that a monkey lives, and they go on adventures and take out stuff in space.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
All right, Rosie from the Jetsons has never been so violent, because here we have the wonderful show Sword Legends Robocore, and it's about an army of robot maids who are attacking an army of robot butlers with swords. And, yeah, I mean, they're robots, but they still bleed.
It actually sounds real.
It looks cool.
That's legit. Sword Legend Robocore.
All right, so that
shall we recap the names one more time? I just want to say mine again.
Legendary Harajuku Masters Club.
And A Certain Twinkle King.
Magical Girl Monkey Fart Gun.
Sword Legend Robocore.
Let's do this. The listeners aren't going to be able to see what we're going to do. But on the count of three, let's point at who we're going to vote for, and then in the end, we will. We'll tell everybody who won. All right, Ray?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Okay, Derek voted for mine, Tyler voted for Derek, and both Evan and I voted for Tyler. So Tyler wins this round.
Yeah.
We're going to be watching a monkey fart gun.
In space.
We're
not watching the twinks.
Okay.
We do not discriminate against anyone here.
You can just put it right over here.
Okay,
just as a discard.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, can I?
You want?
Yes.
To?
You okay, want to yeah. be the? All right. You want to be the producer?
I want to pick a premise here, so I'm going to take five cards.
Yep.
One, two. These like all go together way too well. I was hoping for like a curveball here.
Okay.
You can discard if you want.
Let's get rid of these. There we go. Okay. I need something involving manga artists and a conspiracy.
All right. This one's gonna be tough. This one's gonna be.
I got my other cards back.
Manga artists and a conspiracy.
All right. I think I might have an interesting one. It's just a two-word title that I'm coming up with.
Okay.
I feel like it can build up to something really cool, and that show is gonna be called Maniac God. So apparently Maniac God is going to be about a murder mystery where all these murders are happening, but they are based on actual manga premises and plots. And apparently the manga creators have to come together and work to find out who's killing and who's committing all these murders based off of their works.
All right, mine is called Burning Idol Hunter. And the premise of, or the synopsis of Burning Idol Hunter is that there is going to be a main character of some sort, and they idolize a mangaka, and always looking for their work. But never has this this mangaka ever made an appearance anywhere. So this person who reads this manga, who is seeking out their idol, is trying to find out why they never make an appearance anywhere. Why? And so this anime is going to be about them finding their favorite mangaka, and I want to put in some sort of Da Vinci Code
esque sort of feel to how they are going to find this person. It seems like there's going to be a hint within one of their mangas that is a clue on how to find them. So the person starts digging through all of their manga and starts to try to put puzzle pieces together on how to find this manga artist. And it's going to turn down some really, really dark and mysterious ways, but I still want it to be a comedy. I'm done.
Mine is called 120% Variable Pink Fighter. This is yes. A legend in the manga world, the illustrator world. If you shade a certain object pink, it will come alive and kill you. The end.
Okay. My story is about the greatest manga that was ever created, but it was stolen, so its words will never be heard by anyone ever. It's called Silent Sugar Bubblegum Rocket. It's actually about dogs.
Is that it?
I mean, there's a beach episode.
Okay, it's time to vote. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Oh, we have a tie. Evan and Derek voted for me, and Tyler and me voted for Evan. That means that our house rule tiebreaker is that we have to create a sequel to our premise. So we have our titles, and what we do is we can draw one more card from the cards that we currently have, and we can use the card that we just drew, and we add it to the title that we already have. All right?
I could have added Dark Days to the end of mine.
No, because you only have four.
All right, so mine's going to be a prequel.
Okay.
Maniac God Baby. Oh. It's when they are toddlers trying to figure out this mystery. They were drawing all their comics in crayon, and someone was committing crimes based on their drawings, and the babies get together and try to solve who did it.
All right, so mine is called Burning Idol Hunter Victory. And so after the events of the first one, spoiler alert, the main character finds the mangaka and she's hot, and so it turns into the first series ends on a cliffhanger where there are missing mangakas all over Japan, and so because this guy was able to find her, she thinks that he can find the rest of them. And so Victory is just the next adventure in the sequence where he is going on to finding the next mangaka. Okay, so you guys gotta vote.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? 3, 2, 1. Alright, everybody wants babies. Everybody wants babies.
Only if Alec Baldwin does a voice.
But folks, that was Channel A, and unfortunately you can't buy this game right now.
Yeah.
Who knows if it'll ever come back.
I hope it
so
does.
If you guys want to enjoy this game further, then you can just rewind this about 10 minutes or so. Play it again. Be like playing another round. Same winners. It'll be great.
Play it backwards.
Yeah. Alright, folks, we're going to take one more music break. The band you're about to hear next, because this is going to be just a two-song break, is one of my favorite post-rock bands, Mono. And people will wonder, why don't I play this band more often on my show? It's because the majority of their songs last between 12 to 15 minutes long. But fortunately, this is one of their shorter songs from probably one of the best instrumental rock albums of all time, Walking Cloud and Deep Red Sky. Fly fluttered and the sun shined. This is The Sky Remains the Same as Ever.
Seeing Noodles perform live and just, well, on the day you hear this recording, when it goes live.
We'll be there.
Yes. So, guys, thank you once again for joining me here for this episode 200 of No Borders, No Race. Listeners, I hope you liked this episode. You got a little bit of backstory behind our love for J-pop and anime, and you got to hear us play a couple of really cool card games. Mm-hmm. So, before we really, truly wrap up, before we do our shameless plugs, I do want to give some special thanks to a lot of people who have been making No Borders, No Race possible, not just since the era of the podcast, but even back when it was a radio show. So first and foremost, I want to thank Ninja Sista and Pandalicious over at the Electric Sisterhood for giving us a much larger voice than college radio ever could. Because when we were at WMWM Salem, before they started doing live streaming over the internet, the furthest you could hear our show was Topsfield. Mm. And only on good days you could actually hear it in Salem. Mm-hmm. You couldn't even hear it in Salem if it was like stormy or cloudy or anything like that. That's how bad the reception was. I want to give a very special thank you to Audrey Kimura, who is the leader of the Benton label and the founder of the Japan Night Tour, because she truly showcased for me the majesty that is the J-pop world, both indie and mainstream. I want to thank Tom Molesky, who is the manager of Molise, for not just showcasing that band's greatness, but also the works of Moja and many of the artists that he showcases at his underground show that he does once a month over in Japan. Our friend Sawakato, who not only is an amazing friend and not only helped us out with the whole Aspie-chan interview, being able to translate that both in English and Japanese. She did so much work on that. She deserves majority of the credit for making that interview happen. But she also managed to bridge to meet some really cool people within and outside the Japanese music scene. Something that is not J-pop related, but I really want to give a very, very special thank you to Shameless Promotion PR and their leader, Sean McLarnon, for not only presenting some amazing bands from other parts of the world, but also for even helping out some artists that I'm friends with find their audience. And a very special thank you for helping me with starting out this Shameless Tuesdays that you can now check out on our Boston Badge Brigade page every other Tuesday when No Borders, No Race doesn't happen. Some really kick-ass artists coming up with their own playlists. It's so cool that we were able to do that. And of course, I want to thank Wicked Anime, Abstract Japan, Elite Four Derek, of course. 42's Anime Reviews, Scarlet Rhapsody, another retro gaming podcast, Anime Jam Sessions, Friday Night Fan Fiction, everyone at the Nerdy Show Network, the folks at XSEED Games, Bright Primate, The World is Square, and many of the game developers, bands, and other people of interest who have shown up to guest on my podcast show. And lastly, of course, I want to thank you listeners, because, you know, I don't know how many people do listen to this show, but for every one of you that does, I am grateful that you are tuning in every other week to check out some amazing bands and to hear me banter about a couple things here and there. Maybe you tune in just for the music, maybe you tune in just to hear me banter. Either way, I am eternally grateful. This has been an amazing journey throughout these 200 episodes, and I look forward to seeing what happens next on No Borders, No Race in the not-too-distant future.
We're canceled!
Yeah, so, as always, for our listeners, if you are interested in checking out all of our stuff, remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on this show, please write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at kingbaby.esh and even on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at kingbaby.esh. Like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade. Follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And also like our friends over at the Electric Sisterhood at facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And as well as our buddies from Phil's Recap and Review and Smashed Rook. And Tyler, since this is your first time here on No Borders, No Race, finally in room with us, please tell our audience members where they can find you and Abstract Japan.
Everyone can find me, well, the universe can find me at abstractjapan.com. Hit the contacts tab if you want to find me. I'm on most social media circuits. Otherwise, just please subscribe to the podcast. Also, if you're more technically inclined and have your own podcast grabber, the feed's up there. Otherwise, you know, it's on iTunes or just manually download it on there on the website if you're not so technically inclined. So everyone's welcome, and just find me at abstractjapan.com, and all social media is abstractjapan.
Awesome. And of course, John, tell people about Wicked Anime.
Sure. You can find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find both our podcast and our videos. Podcasts can be found literally anywhere podcasts can be found. That's like iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Google Play. You can find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. If you want to be a part of our conversation, any podcast conversations that we have that you want to be a part of, you can find us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. This is really hard because Andrew usually does it.
Yeah. They sound alike, so I never can tell which one's actually saying it, by the way.
And then you can find us on any social media. We have a Tumblr, Wicked Anime. We have a Twitter, @YoWickedAnime, where you can tweet at us and ask us questions. Facebook.com/WickedAnime is where all of the news and all of our interactions happen there. So find us at Facebook.com. Give us a like. And anything that I'm missing, you can just give us a Google search away. You can find us. That's probably an issue, but probably not.
Yeah, and what's going to happen on the next Wicked Anime?
On the next episode of Wicked Anime, we are going to be talking about the new season.
No, this is the old season.
Because this is the episode that's about to air in a couple days.
Well, we do that, but we also preview the new season as well.
That too.
Yeah, so we had both on this one.
That's
We wrap up the old season, and we look at what we're going to be interested in the new season. Now, the new season's already going right now, so we are currently watching, and we already know what we like and don't like. But that's going to be another episode later.
Yes. And where can people find all your stuff, Derek?
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Elite4Derek. Probably hear me on the Wicked Anime Podcast here and there from time to time. You can also find me working on such wonderful projects brought to you by Channel A, such projects as Fighting Putty Witches and Little Hell Angel EX. the original Little Hell Angel series got canceled, but my EX version actually got greenlit, so we're going to go with that.
Oddly enough, they actually have a Rama 1 half. The original Rama 1 half got canceled because of low ratings, but then they brought it back and it wound up being more successful.
What?
All right, so before we do the total sign-off, we've been staring at this sake bottle, and it sounds like someone's vacuuming upstairs.
The aliens are coming. It's a conspiracy.
So I guess let's taste test this, Tozai.
It's not full.
It's the shadow in here made it...
Zero calories.
Yeah, zero calories.
Is that supposed to be mixed? Just like because you got like this stuff floating on the bottom. And then
no,
you have
it's supposed to just stay natural like that.
Okay.
Kind of, yeah.
Unfiltered.
Like snow.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Give me a quarter pour. I'm not into hard. That's too much.
Put some into this.
Okay. Yeah. That's more my speed.
All right.
And
pour.
Happy 200, dude.
Kanpai.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. Yeah.
Right. Next time, even though we were safe about it, we did not do cheers over the microphone.
You're right.
That's actually pretty sweet. Oh, there's the bitter. Okay.
That's not so bad.
No, that is pretty good.
This could really warm you up, sweetie.
Yeah.
Clear your sinuses, too. So, of course, the very last song that we're playing on this episode is the band that started it all for No Borders, No Race, The Pillows, who are the main act we're going to be seeing this coming, well, today.
We finally get to go with the show to you, go to a show.
Yes,
to you.
We're actually seeing two shows in 1 week.
We get years of trying.
Yeah, we got, of course, The Pillows, and then we got Beck right after that.
It hasn't worked out, but finally, they aligned forces.
Absolutely. And this song is from their 2006 album, My Foot, and this was probably one of the most Pink Floyd songs that the Pillows have ever done. And this is Sayonara Universe. So until next time, this is your King Baby Duck.
John Starr from Wicked Anime.
Tyler Abstract.
Elite4Derek.
Always remind you that you do not have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps.
Woo!
Yeah. Guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.